Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Department of Rationale Rationing here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, this is an interesting announcement.
This is.
From Ford Motor Company.
This is brilliant. Here's what Ford Motor Company publicly announced. And I'll paraphrase because I don't really remember the exact words, but it was pretty much this. They said, "We know that SUVs are really bad. We know that they pollute the atmosphere. We know they kill people in other cars. They kill people in the SUVs themselves. We know all that. It's a horrible thing, an
you're
SUV."
Not just paraphrasing. You're actually inventing here. I mean, they might not have said any of those words.
They may not have said any of those
but
words.
But that was but the gist of it, was in your opinion.
That was, in my opinion, the gist was they're terrible things. They get 10 miles to the gallon. They pollute. They're awful.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what they said. That's what they said. But then, get this. Now, this is, I don't get it. This is brilliant, though. They said, "We know all this is true. But, and here's the interesting but, we are making so much money selling these things that we just can't stop." We can't stop. And their argument was, if we don't build them, somebody else is going to build them anyway. They'll make all the money. And we want to make all the money. So we admit that we shouldn't be doing this. But we got to. We can't stop because we're making so much money.
They're just
money.
Making too much dough. And so maybe they're begging for some kind of governmental intervention to stop everyone from making
That's
these.
What they're crying out
they're
for help.
They're crying out.
Please stop me. It's like an addict.
Right.
It's the money.
They're money addicts.
They're money addicts.
But do they have a long-term goal?
Yeah, the long-term goal is we're going to make it better.
Well, we found that this somewhat inspiring. And in the spirit of corporate responsibility, we at Car Talk Plaza would also like to issue a statement.
Yeah.
You know.
And we spent a lot of time writing this, so.
Should I read it?
Read it carefully. No, you go right ahead.
Car Talk acknowledges that giving out stupid and misleading answers to people's car questions is reckless, dangerous, and a waste of the public airways. Mm. We further acknowledge that laughing at each other's jokes and gassing on about electric brakes and other nonsense for as much as two-thirds of an hour-long show every week is irresponsible, detrimental to the mental health of the nation, and can lead to hemorrhoidal flare-ups and other unpleasant physical reactions by listeners. Mm-hmm. We cannot, however, stop
this
doing
is the but.
It.
But!
This is the rationalization. Yeah. We cannot, however, stop doing it. We simply enjoy the free donuts we get here at the station every weekend far too much. Plus, if we didn't waste your time like this every week, we know Scott Simon would jump in a New York minute. So we hope someday in the future to do better, but don't hold your breath.
Exactly. And I think that's it. I mean, we have as much corporate responsibility as Ford Motor Company. We've admitted to everything.
Wow. Just about.
And then there's no real difference here. They're doing it for billions of dollars. We're doing it for a couple of donuts.
Exactly. And until then, you'll only encourage us by calling 888-CAR-TALK. So if you want us to mend our ways right now, don't call. If you'd like an answer to a question, the number is 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mark from Brooklyn, New York.
Hey.
Hey.
What's happening, Mark?
Well, I bought a Toyota Corolla about 4 years ago. I used to live in Portland, Oregon. Drove it for a year there. It was great. It was getting about 30 miles to the gallon. Drove it out here, moved in September 3 years ago. And about 2 years later, I thought I'd get a tune-up. So I got a tune-up, and the gas mileage went down to about 24. Then he said, "Well, it's getting worse gas mileage because the oxygen sensor now is tuned up and it's noticing that you've got a cracked exhaust manifold, and that's why you got bad gas mileage."
Ah, yeah. Well, you'd have to have a heck of an exhaust leak to fool the oxygen sensor.
Okay,
but that then again, you know, go ahead.
Well, it's possible.
Okay. Well, so whatever. I'm trusting the guy. He lives next door, right? But he has a garage next to the police station two streets up, so he can't be too bad.
No.
I've changed my mind. I don't like the oxygen sensor idea at all.
Okay.
It's completely stupid, as a matter of fact.
But okay. Go ahead.
So then I say, "Well, why don't you get me a used one off the junk lot across the street?" And he's like, "Well, that'll be $200. And I said, "How much is a new one?" He's like, $400 installed cash. Right. So I give him the $400 cash, and now it's down to, like, under 20. And I got even with the cheap gas from New Jersey, it's still getting under 20.
So let me get this right. You drive to New Jersey to save a nickel a gallon.
No. Sometimes I work in New Jersey, and sometimes I get cheap gas there when I'm not that bad. Come on.
So would it be reasonable to assume that within a month before you did the tune-up, you had measured the gas mileage and it was close to 30, and within a month after the tune-up, you had measured the gas mileage and it was 24? Would it be a safe assumption to say that?
You're trying to trap the witness here.
I'm just trying to get the facts.
No, Your Honor, you have trapped the witness here, because it's true that I think one of the other things that prompted me to get the tune-up was that it did go down from, like, 29, 30 to, like, 26, 27.
Okay, so and despite the tune-up, it continued on this downward spiral.
It got dramatically worse.
What month of the year was that?
Oh, God.
Season. What season was it?
I think it was tuned up in the wintertime.
And that's good. And so the mileage has gotten worse as spring has approached.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Well, usually our answer when we have these problems is that it's the fault of the thermostat. In fuel-injected cars, they're especially vulnerable to having a thermostat which opens too early, thus not allowing the engine ever to reach the proper operating temperature, which for this thing is over 200 degrees. If it doesn't get to 200, the computer will put in an amount of gasoline that would suffice for an engine that were warming up and hadn't reached operating temperature yet.
How do I determine whether the thermostat's the problem or just replace it for $80?
Well, you could just measure the temperature in the radiator.
Or you could just replace it if you were so inclined. But I would have somebody measure it.
Yeah. And what's plan B if the thermometer is not the answer?
Well, you want two answers, not one?
Well, for the same price. I mean, look what I'm paying.
If it's not the thermostat.
Well, I mean, it could be. If an automatic transmission?
Yes, sir.
The transmission could be slipping.
What?
I knew you weren't going to like that answer. That's why.
So you went from a $7 answer to a $7,000 answer. Are you happy now?
I just want the right answer, whatever that is.
Well, that's a potentially right answer.
That is potentially. That's for okay.
Yeah, so you better hope for the thermostat, pal.
Hey, good luck, Mark.
Thanks so much.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
1-888. I knew that would get rid of him right away.
Oh, well.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Leanda from Tucson, but it's dry heat, Arizona.
Leanda?
Leanda, like Leanne, duh.
Duh.
That way no one ever forgets it.
Wait, wasn't Leander a...
That's Leander. This Leanda.
No R there. It's L-I-A-N-D-A.
Yeah, I like it,
it's
actually.
It's a very nice name.
Why, thank you.
So why did you move to Arizona from New York?
Well, and you know that, of course.
How would we know that?
This was the place that I was meant to be.
Really?
And yes, I knew it. And when I came out here, one of the first things I did was I got a four-wheel drive rodeo.
Really?
I had to become an official Tucsonan.
Yeah, and it's good that you had the good sense to realize you were in the wrong place.
But how did you know that this was the place for you? I mean, why not Florida? Why not California?
Dry heat and mountains, because Florida is flat as a pancake.
And Florida has got nothing but geezers in it, and I hate the entire state. And California's got nothing but airheads in it. And you could hate that state right away. So you're right. You're in the right place.
I know.
So anyway, why are you calling us?
Well,
you work for the Tourist Bureau or something?
Not quite. I bought this rodeo, like I said, to become a Tucsonan. And I was going off-road with my 17-year-old son, Ben, and Tim, my partner, and we were going down a very steep, rocky, uneven road with a really deep ditch in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is supposed to be enjoyable, but all I felt was tension because I knew that my 17-year-old son, who was driving, was not thinking about how we're going to turn the truck back on its wheels after it turns over.
Right.
Right, right.
Yeah, so anyway.
And your bladder was crying out for relief.
Well, when you hear this, all of a sudden, this foul odor, kind of like rotten eggs, starts wafting into the passenger area.
Sure. Uh-huh.
you know, we're all looking at each other trying to place the blame somewhere else.
Right. Yeah, I do that when I ride with my brother.
But then I thought, no, it has to be the car. And then I realized it does happen other times, and I noticed it primarily when the car is going very slowly, and it's intermittent, so we don't smell it all the time, thank goodness. And so I thought that you guys would definitely be able to help me.
But we're the experts on smells. What year rodeo is this thing?
Bad
smell. It's a 95.
95.
Yeah. Do you want us to blame it on Ben or Tim? Because we can do that, too.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we can contrive an answer or construct an answer.
To blame it on anybody.
Anybody.
No, I just want it to go away.
Including you. I mean, you may not be able to get it to go away too easily. The smell is hydrogen sulfide gas.
Ew.
There is no ready way to get rid of the production of it because it's caused by sulfur that's in the gasoline.
Mm.
And it's coming out of the tailpipe because the catalytic converter is not absorbing enough of it as it's being produced.
Mm-hmm.
But do you typically buy your gasoline in the same place, same brand of gasoline all the time?
No. In fact, I've been spending a little more money and getting a brand that I don't know that I want to mention. But
who are they?
Chevron.
Yeah?
But since you say this smell is not always there.
Right.
It could well be related to what brand of gasoline you happen to have been using.
Oh.
So I would start the experiment.
Okay.
Make a list of all the gas stations from the nearest to your house to the furthest away.
All right.
And the first week, get it in gas station A and note the smell. The second week, gas station B. And when you find the one where it doesn't stink anymore, that's the place to go.
Okay.
Well, good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Yeah, it's a pleasure talking to you.
Same here.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Bob in Fort Worth, Texas.
Hey, Bob.
Fort Worth.
What's happening?
A fine place.
It is a fine place.
Yeah. What's up?
I have a question, a problem that I guarantee in all your years in radio you've never heard before.
You know, we get some of our most unanswerable questions from Texans.
I wonder why.
I don't know why.
Does it involve cattle trailers?
You're close.
Really?
All right, let me tell you the problem.
Yeah.
My car is frequently in an environment where there are equestrian events, primarily horse shows.
Yeah.
These horse shows, the horses actually, attract monstrous flies, some of which are reminiscent of B-29s.
Yes.
Yeah.
They get in the car, and I can't get them out. I travel with a fly swatter. I travel with a can of Raid. I've even lit up a few Arturo Fuentes, and that doesn't seem to help.
Yeah.
But someone suggested that I set off a bug bomb at night in the car like you would in the house, you know, and vacate the place, and then in the morning everything will be fine. But I'm concerned
about your health.
Well, no. I mean, put it in the car.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think you want to get into a car that's just been sprayed with deadly poison.
Well, I'm concerned.
You might
more
as well
about
throw Agent Orange in there. I mean, come on.
I'm concerned more about the bug juice getting in the electronics of the car and messing up the car.
The electronics? What about your lungs, man? Oh, you're re-smoking those Arturo Fuentes, so you don't care about your lungs.
I don't care about my lungs.
I don't think you should worry about your lungs either. In a few years, you'll be able to buy a lung.
What's the answer to my problem?
Wow, man, this is bad.
I mean,
I'm not going to give any advice here because this is deadly.
See, I think they propagate in the car is what the problem is.
Wow.
So these flies really multiply. So it may be that if they're in there laying eggs,
mm-hmm.
you're done for.
Well, God said go forth and multiply. He didn't just mean it for us. He wants flies, too.
No, it was go forth. Never mind.
Someone
and divide? Go forth and multiply? Subtract. Well, I mean, my problem is anything you put in there,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have to air the thing out.
Exactly.
And as you're airing it out, these giant flies are going to come back
in. No, because they only come back in when you're at the equestrian events.
That's right.
Well, that's where he's going to be.
Well, no. I can air it out away from the equestrian event.
Oh, you can?
Exactly. I would suggest you set off one of these bombs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
And then you after it kills everything, and it will kill everything that's in there.
Right.
Then you air it out. I mean,
okay. It won't mess up the electronics of the car like the digital speedometer.
No, I don't think so. Why should it?
Well, I mean, I don't know what's in that stuff.
Is this bomb rated in, like, megatons?
Well, it's liquid, you know. I mean, it's as a vapor.
What troubles me is, yes, this stuff is going to get on everything. It's going to get on the seats. It's going to get on the steering wheel. It's going to get on the dashboard. You're going to get in the car. It's going to stick to your butt.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to put your hands on the steering wheel. You're going to stick your hand up your nose.
Well, don't forget, this stuff is recommended for residences.
Right.
You could put this thing in your living room.
Right, and it doesn't bother people.
And it's
there.
Government. It barely kills the flies.
Mm-hmm.
What are you worried about, Bob? I would throw one of them in there and hope for the best, and then wash your steering wheel off with soap and water and drive the car.
Hey, you guys are wonderful.
I don't like the poison.
I do.
Jeez.
I do. Go for it.
Hey, thanks a lot.
But don't do it too often. Once or twice.
Once a year.
There you go.
Thanks
See
a
you
lot.
Later.
Thanks for calling, Bob. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, Tommy, it's time to head into the puzzlerous rememberous segment of the show. You ready for your puzzler hint?
No, but you start, and I'm going to just catch up. Go ahead.
Okay, here's your one and only hint this week. The other day, you got dressed in such a hurry that you got to work and discovered your socks didn't blank.
Come up far enough to hide the fact that I forgot my pants, too.
No, your socks didn't match.
Match.
Match. The puzzler was from the Matchstick series, and I'll be back with the answer in just a minute.
I've eaten everything in reach of the front driver's seat, but there's more in the back of the car. Banana behind the back seat. I bought it sometime late last week. The expiration date don't bother me tonight. Driving must be a drug. Things ground into the rug start to look like they might taste all right. When your stomach is distended, all thoughts of sleep have ended. You get fat, but you're awake when you get home.
And even though college career consultants suddenly get an idea about how to scare students straight whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. We'd like to take a moment to thank one of the sponsors of this podcast, Tire Rack. Now, I'm going to make a bold prediction and guess that at some point, you're going to need tires. That's why they call me Kreskin Malyotzi. Now, at TireRack.com, they want you to know that the right tires for you, based on your car and how you drive, can be delivered in as little as one business day to a local recommended installer. Which leads me to my second bold prediction, that you've learned more from this message than from the rest of our show. TireRack.com. Find, deliver, install. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, this was from the Matchstick series.
Hmm.
Right? And I think I asked you to get 16 matchsticks.
And I got them right here. Go ahead.
And use them to create this half of an equation.
Yeah.
You start with one. Roman numerals, right?
Roman numerals. One.
Okay, which is one matchstick.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then you use two matchsticks to make a plus sign.
Got it. Plus.
Two.
Roman numeral two.
Roman numeral two. Plus.
I.
Right.
Plus.
Okay. I. Captain. Plus. I.
I.
And that adds up to 10.
3, 6, 10. Yeah.
Anyway, the question was, move and reuse one matchstick to make the sum equal not to 10, but to 4. Right? And what you do is you take the plus sign between the 1 and the 2.
Yeah.
Take the vertical matchstick.
Yeah.
And put it horizontally in front of the 1. So now the thing reads minus 1, minus 2.
Yeah.
Plus 3, plus 4 equals what?
Four.
And a lot of people have trouble with this because the idea of putting a negative sign in front.
Yeah. I had trouble with that. Sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade.
That encompassed 12 years. Yeah. Anyway, do we have a winner?
The winner is Dave Knight.
And our boy Dave!
It's always good to know there's one wacko who thinks like you. From Norman, Oklahoma. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers, Dave will get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division on our website. With this $25, he can get his father a copy of our CD, Why You Should Never Listen to Your Father When It Comes to Cars. That's assuming that he and his father are already not speaking to each other. Then that's it.
We'll have a new automotive slash woe and intrigue puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so don't touch that dialer. But if you have to, call us. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Andy out in Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Andy. What's happening, man?
Portland.
Well, let's see. I drive a lot for work, and 2 weeks ago, I noticed overnight that at my normal highway cruising speed, I lost about 400 to 500 RPM.
Really?
Yeah.
You're driving along at highway speed, which is what, 70 miles an hour?
Well, I'm pushing 80 usually.
80. All right, so 80.
Yeah.
And you lost RPMs and didn't lose speed?
Yeah. It used to run along at about 3,400 RPMs, and then literally overnight, it started running at 2,900 or 3,000 RPMs.
What kind of a car is this?
It's a 92 Honda Civic.
Automatic transmission.
Manual.
Manual. That's even better. Okay, I know what happened.
Yeah, me too.
What?
In the night, someone sneaked into your driveway and put another gear in your transmission.
So you now you don't know, but you have six forward speeds.
Six forward speeds, double overdrive in sixth.
So really, this is a stumper, huh?
Not enough, Andy.
Well,
you have an idea?
No.
3,400 is the right speed for 80
right.
miles
yeah.
an hour.
Right.
And I would say that even that is maybe a tad low. But 2,900 is no good. 2,900 is too low.
Okay.
In order to go 80 in fifth gear, this engine must be turning at 3,400 or maybe a little more.
So
right.
if you are traveling at 80 miles an hour and it's reading 2,900, one of the following must be true.
You bought bigger tires, which you didn't do.
No, I didn't.
You didn't buy new tires. Either the speedometer is reading incorrectly or the
tachometer
is reading incorrectly, or you have lost it.
So take your pick.
Any one of those four
possible.
Things.
So I shouldn't really worry about it.
The check engine light hasn't come on,
nope.
And you're sure you're still driving at 80.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
So you lost 500 RPM.
That's what he said.
How the heck did you do that? No, I think the tach is no good.
Okay.
And I would ignore it. I mean, what do you need a tach for anyway? You don't.
Well,
do you use a tach when you shift?
No.
And if you didn't have one, you wouldn't miss it.
And I never redline the thing or anything like that.
Right.
And you don't need a speedometer either, because you're going to go as fast as you're going to go. So you've got two dials there that are completely irrelevant to anything that you do.
Okay.
Does the gas gauge work?
Gas gauge works.
Well, that's you're all set that. Then. See you, Andy.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
So long.
Bye-bye.
Hey, I have an interesting letter, actually. May I read it to you?
Sure.
Hey, come on. I listen to your stupid puzzlers every week. Okay.
Go ahead. Read us something.
This is a bunch of stuff. They ask kids various questions having to do with marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And they got answers from little kids. I mean, these are kids like 5 to 10 years old. And I'll read you just a few of them. Here's the question they asked. How do you decide who to marry? Alan, age 10, says, you've got to find somebody who likes the same stuff. Like if you like sports, she should like it that you like sports. And she should keep the chips and dip coming. How can a stranger tell if two people are married? This is good. Derek, age 8, says, you might have to guess based on whether they seem to be yelling at the same kids. What do most people do on a date? Lynette, age 8, says dates are for having fun, and people should use them to get to know each other. Even boys have something to say if you listen long enough. And my favorite, how would you make a marriage work? Ricky, age 10, you should tell your wife that she looks pretty, even if she looks like a truck.
Okay.
I do that. Now, did I have to throw
that
in?
Entirely.
Entirely unnecessary.
Entirely unnecessary. It's a classic example of pushing something to the limit, right?
I don't know what
you just couldn't keep your mouth shut.
I don't know what came over me.
If you have something my brother might like to read or something that he can get himself in trouble with, please feel free to send him anything, including fresh fish. And the address is Good Mail Division, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, that's 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238, or you can email him from cartalk.com. Just click on the send fish icon. If you'd like to call us with a question about your car or anything else, or marital advice. My brother is pretty liberal with his marital advice.
Yeah.
The number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
A truck?
Oh! 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 Oh, no! My worst fear!
A truck?
My worst fear!
See? You never know.
That wasn't me.
Uh-huh.
That was Berman who sneaked into the studio and leaned over my shoulder.
And faked Tommy's voice.
And faked my voice. Hi, hon. Hi, hon. What's for dinner tonight? I guess not much.
You'll be lucky if you get a dog food the way you're going.
Will it be the wet or the dry stuff?
He likes the dry, Jane.
I'm really sick of the wet stuff.
Well, we'll see what we can scrape together. But don't expect too much.
Bye, hon.
Bye.
I guess I'll be seeing you from the garage.
Oh, yeah. You'll be waving to them from the garage. They'll be having a wonderful time without you. See, I keep
Dougie,
telling you.
I hate you.
I keep telling you.
Well, see, my only hope, I know for a fact that she never listens to our show.
Yeah. Evidently,
rarely.
Once in a while, huh?
And every once, I mean, maybe, I know that many of her friends come to her and say,
I can't believe your husband said that about you.
And she keeps saying, what? What did he say? And then when her friends find out that she doesn't know, they say, oh, nothing.
Right.
So, but she's gotten the hint that she should be listening, and maybe that's why she was listening.
I think she'll probably be listening today. from now on.
She won't have to.
No,
she won't know me.
No. 1-888-CAR-TALK. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kara calling you from Monroe, Michigan.
Kara, like C-A-R-A?
K-A-R-A.
That's what I thought.
That's close.
From where?
I'm calling you from Monroe, Michigan, but my car is in South Carolina.
Oh, broke down, eh?
Where in South Carolina are you from?
I live in Columbia, South Carolina.
Columbia, you know, that's an important city there in South Carolina.
They make the bicycles there.
They make.
I had a Columbia bicycle when I was a kid, yeah.
So did I.
I didn't know
that. It was the same bike, you knucklehead.
I wondered where that bike went. So, Carol, what's up?
Well, I actually work in Clinton, South Carolina, and I was giving final exams at Presbyterian College where I work, and I went to go get gas on an empty tank.
Yeah.
And I filled it up with what I thought was gas, but it actually was water.
Huh?
It
really?
Was water in the pump. 100% pure water.
Really?
Yeah, so I didn't get very far. I got across the street.
Did you get back to the gas station and explain this to them?
Well, actually, they found me. They called around town. It's a small town. They called around and tried to find out the car that was taken that wasn't working very well, or I don't know how they found me.
And what town was this?
This is Clinton, South Carolina.
No kidding. So they tracked you down.
Yeah, they did.
Because they knew that they had a problem.
Yes.
Boy, you know, that wouldn't happen in Boston.
No,
oh, are you kidding?
Because I'll tell you, the first thing that would happen is they would try to hide the fact and deny.
Yeah,
you came back with pails of water in your hand. They said, look, I just drained these out of my tank. I was here 5 minutes ago. They'd say,
never saw
oh, no,
before.
That's impossible. And the reason they do that is they do that stuff is they're afraid of the consequences.
Yes.
But in Clinton, South Carolina, they are honest people.
Yes, they are.
That's wonderful.
It is wonderful.
And it basically says that big cities have ruined the world.
Yeah.
Is that it? And I'm convinced that big is bad no matter what, unless you're an elephant. And that's the only case where big seems to be okay.
For the most part.
But everything else that's big is probably not good.
Except for the guy that has to walk behind the elephant.
Well, you got to have a big shovel. So why are you calling us, Kara?
Well, my car is running again.
Yeah.
And you know, my mechanic says he thinks it's great. It's not going to cause me any problems. Then my father, my father-in-law, my brothers, their friends, all say, oh, no, it's not going to last now because there's going to be corrosion in the cylinders and grit. I've heard this word grit, too, that there's grit in there somehow.
Well, we have a CD, which you maybe have heard of. It's called Why You Should Never Listen to Your Father When It Comes to Cars.
Or Other Guys.
And this is one of those situations.
Okay.
Yeah, grit. I mean, when you drink water, do you have grit stuck in your teeth?
No.
I mean, how bad is the water in Clinton, South Carolina?
Well, yeah.
Come on. So the grit story is bogus.
Okay.
And what were the other stories?
The corrosion in the cylinders.
Corrosion in the cylinders.
No.
Well, you should point out to them that water is the primary product of combustion.
Yeah.
There's water in there all the time. And don't forget what's going on in there. Explosions.
Yeah.
Combustion. How long could the water be there if there was water?
It turns in the steam, it comes out the tailpipe. And the fact of the matter is that there are many engines which actually add water by water injection to the combustion process to improve it.
Oh,
so,
okay.
However, it is bad to have water, for example, going through your injector nozzles.
Yeah.
And I would hope that
when
they drained out the tank, they flushed out the lines, they probably, as a precaution, put in a bunch of dry gas.
Yeah.
Which is alcohol, which absorbs the water. And if you didn't drive the car for days and days with this water in the tank...
No, I got across the street.
Then chance. I was able to cross the street. You crossed the street and it conked out?
Yeah, and then it just quietly died.
Well, she was on fumes. That was good.
So
all these guys who gave you advice, they're all full of baloney.
Yeah, I don't think you did.
Every single one of them.
Okay.
Including Dad.
Yeah, and maybe including us, too, because we're guys, too.
We're guys, too, so what do we know?
Okay.
But wait a minute.
Yes.
Before you go, what do you teach there at Presbyterian College?
I teach math there.
Math?
Yes.
What kind of math?
Oh, you know, calculus, this and that, algebra.
Calculus.
So these are all kids who now will be able to calculate the area under a curve.
Yes.
And know the slope at any point on that curve.
Yes.
And when will they ever be using that, Kara?
Well, if you need to know the instantaneous velocity versus the average velocity, you would need some calculus.
That's important. You know, my brother needs to know that when he drives his MG, because his average velocity is about zero, but he has been known to have a positive instantaneous velocity from time to time.
Yes.
But Kara, if we like asked just a rough random sample of like a million people, mm-hmm. when the last time was that they needed to know the instantaneous slope? What would those million people say?
Huh?
You're stealing their money and teaching them junk that they'll never use.
But she has a job.
Uh-oh.
Go back to Presbyterian College and tell them that you quit.
Resign. I'd resign tomorrow.
That's right. In fact, well, you can make a Ford statement. You say, I know that the stuff I'm teaching is complete bull, and people will never use it, but I just can't stop.
Well, now I probably won't get hired back. So
I won't be asked back after. But see, the trouble is, if you don't take the job, some other bozo with a PhD.
So you might as well keep it.
Yeah,
you might as well keep it. And keep teaching that area under the curve. You never know when
you're going to bump into it.
Yes, somebody's got
to
do
it. Good God, what's with the American education system? Are we a bunch of morons to allow this to happen? Come on, I'm fed up with it. Fed up, I'm telling you.
He didn't take his pills this morning, but he'll be all right.
I'm not taking any more. I'm not going to take the pills anymore.
You need to settle down, Tom.
Yes, you are, Tommy. Or those guys with that funny jacket will be coming in to see you
again. They won't be selling ice cream.
No, they won't. See you, Kara.
All right, thanks a lot. Thanks very much.
Good
bye-bye.
God. Calculus.
All right, it's time for us to take a short break and get ready for the new puzzler.
You're getting ready, huh? Going to do some last-minute research, huh? Some additional little fact-checking, some consultation with the foremost experts in the field. Hey, is that what you're going to do?
Hey, nobody likes a wise guy.
We'll be back in a minute.
Go back to your Pontiac. But if you go, I won't take you back. You had your chance to prove you were true, but your broken down car means more to you.
even though EPA scientists in biohazard suits wave people away from their radios whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yeah.
As I promised, this is automotive in nature, and yet it has intrigue and
woe and intrigue.
Woe and God knows what else.
Yeah.
And this was sent in by a young lady named, well, I don't know if she's young, but well, she may not be anymore, because you'll find
her
out.
Her letter is 10 years old.
20. Judy Belland sent this in. Yeah. And she says, here's an actual true story that I think might make a good automotive puzzler. But then again, everything I know about cars, I learned from Car Talk. So that should tell you a lot right there. But here goes. Pay attention. There are a lot of facts and more obfuscations, unclarifications, and tricks. And
we knew that.
Yeah, of
course. We knew that.
Sunday, September 30, 1984, my sister's wedding had been the day before in Hagerstown, Maryland. I was getting a ride back to my home in Michigan with two of my sister's friends, Robin and John, and we left early that morning and were only about an hour into the drive when John's alternator light came on. After a couple more hours, his car began having trouble, you know, bogging down, and some of the electrical stuff wasn't working. Anyway, we got off the highway, and in the first minor miracle of the day, we found a place that was open that had a battery charger, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we charged up the battery. So we wasted about like an hour and a half hanging around, you know, drinking coffee and trying to extinguish our hangovers. Is it hangovers or hangs over?
It's hangovers. Like... hangovers.
Anyway, after the battery was charged, we headed back to the highway, and things looked grim, I remember. I was attempting to do the math in my head. If you take what is normally a 12-hour trip and you stop for an hour and a half every 2 hours... That's, of course, if we were lucky enough to find a place that needed that had a battery charger every time we needed it. It was going to take us like 15 days to get home. Well, within seconds, like I said, this was an absolutely true story of our merging back onto the highway. Who went whizzing by us but my aunt and uncle?
Really?
Had we gotten back onto the highway just seconds later, we would never have seen them, and we probably would have died someplace out in Hagerstown, right? And they, too, were returning to Michigan after the wedding, having left much later than we did that morning. They were probably a little bit more hungover, you figure?
Yeah.
Anyway, simultaneously, the three of us said, get him! And John floors it and manages to catch up to Uncle Leadfoot. We pull alongside, and we roll the windows down, and we say, look, we're having trouble, pull over, pull over, pull over. Anyway, we finally find a place to stop, and John explained the situation to my uncle. My uncle said, sounding very regretful and a little frustrated, I could help, but I don't have any tools. And John said, well, I have some tools. I have like a pair of pliers and a, you know, an adjustable wrench and maybe a vice grip or something. And the uncle said, well, but we don't even have a new alternator to put in here. I mean, how could I possibly do anything to help you? Well, they devised a plan.
I know what he could do. Swap cars.
Yeah. Well, they suggested that, but I don't remember what the uncle said, but I'm sure it was memorable. They devised a plan, and we made it the rest of the way back to Michigan with no difficulty and virtually no delay. How did we do it? Now, if you think you know the answer.
I like it already.
If you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on the back of a $26 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238, or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But if you'd like to call us, of course, the number, as always, is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey there.
Hey there.
How you doing?
Good. Not bad. Who's
and you?
This?
My name is Bill.
Hey, Bill.
I'm in Bloomington, Indiana.
How are you, Bill?
I'm okay.
I'm writing down Bill to make sure that I don't forget your name.
In Bloomington. So what's up, Bill?
Bill in Bloomington has a Peugeot.
Does he know?
I'm waiting for the groans.
No. I'm trying to make something literal. Bill and Bloomington, Bozo. Okay, Peugeot, go ahead.
You have a Peugeot. How nice for you.
I love the car.
I'm sure you do.
I read with considerable dismay that Peugeot was reconsidering its reintroduction into the arena. Well, they were reconsidering. They may not do it.
Oh, they were reconsidering.
They were reconsidering.
Oh.
For a while, they were reconsidering.
Oh, but then now they're reconsidering.
Now they're seriously reconsidering.
Because someone at the board of directors said in the equivalent in French, what are we, nuts?
So anyway, so you have a
Peugeot. Which Peugeot do you have?
I have a 1989 405 MI-16.
A 405. Now, the 405 was their last shot.
Mm-hmm.
The 405 was what they said was going to change everything around, and it did. They left.
It was kind of a make-or-break decision.
It was make-or-break, right.
Make-or-break, that's right.
How have you enjoyed the 405?
I love the 405.
Yeah, the 405 was a pretty nice car. I think it was a case of too little and too late.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think that's a good, very good characterization.
Thank you.
It has, of course, in it a Bosch Mototronic fuel management system.
Motronic. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Motronic, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Named after...
It was. They had a choice of the Curlytronic and the Larrytronic, and they chose the Motronic.
Oh,
right, the Renault and the Citroën have the Larry and the Curlytronic. I'm sorry for injecting levity like this into an otherwise serious discussion.
All right, so here we are with the Curlytronic.
Making fun of his Curlytronic injection.
So what's the problem, if any, Bill?
The problem, the car runs great. It does everything it's supposed to do. However, it's a five-speed. And if you stall the car, in other words, if you pop the clutch and it dies or something like that, unnatural, if the engine stops unnaturally.
It won't restart.
It won't restart.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And you have to wait 15 or 20 minutes, and then, zoom, it'll start right up.
Mm-hmm.
It turns over and everything.
Yeah. No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
If you stall it, even taking off from a traffic light?
Exactly. It's like it's confused.
Yeah. I mean, this has happened to me with a couple of vehicles, not Peugeots,
uh-huh,
which if I stalled them, as you say, unnaturally,
mm-hmm,
they wouldn't start either for a long time or at all for
mm-hmm
a long time.
Well, and what do you do when you try to restart it?
Wait.
No, I mean, when you aside from waiting,
uh-huh,
before you figure out that waiting always works,
yeah,
what else do you do?
Well, we kind of found out that waiting always works because it's my wife drives the car mostly, and by the time she calls me and I come out there, the time's elapsed, it starts right up, and she gets mad.
Right.
Right.
I was trying to convince her it was some kind of magic touch I had, but I think she figured that one out.
She figured that one out. She saw
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she's pretty
you
smart.
Right.
But no, I have not recreated the stalling at home, which I probably should have done. But the car turns right over. I'm assuming that it still has fuel and spark and all that good stuff. So we've done nothing. In the time that elapses, you know, you wait and you give it a shot, and then you wait and you give it a shot, and then all of a sudden, zoom.
Well, if you try, I mean, what my guess is, what's going on is that it's flooded.
Exactly. That's what I
conclude. And what you have to do is treat it just like a carbureted vehicle that's flooded, and that is put the gas to the floor and hold it, because one of the things that you do is you kick in the wide open throttle switch,
uh-huh,
which cuts the amount of fuel the injectors are putting in tremendously.
Really?
Yeah, because it's exactly designed exactly for that, to start a flooded engine. So I would recommend that if it does stall out, that you put the gas pedal to the floor and hold it there while you're trying to crank it.
Okay.
And that may get it to work.
Okay.
I mean, there could be something else wrong with it, but when it finally does start,
uh-huh,
it runs perfectly okay.
No smoke, no hiccups, nothing.
Yeah.
Like nothing ever happened.
But if it continues to be a problem and
yeah, just run down to your local dealer, and I'm sure. Oh, I'm sorry.
That, oh, that was cruel.
That was cruel, wasn't it?
That was cruel.
Yeah. Oh. And here you were just thinking what a nice guy my brother is. Cross him off your Christmas card list, Bill. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
But try flooring it. I mean, try keeping the gas pedal to the floor while you crank
it. Hold it down, and it should clear itself out.
Hold it down.
Hold it down and count to 30.
No, hold it down first without doing anything.
Well, just your foot to the floor.
No, okay.
Count to 30.
Mm-hmm.
slowly.
And then
turn the key to the start position.
While continuing to hold your foot on the pedal.
Okay.
And it'll start right up.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's unlikely, but see you, Bill.
It's worth a shot. And if not, remember, the dealer can fix this.
Yeah.
And they'll be back soon enough.
That's right. With Citroen.
With Citroen.
The house of pain.
See you later.
Thank you.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Ronnie.
Ronnie.
Hi,
hello.
Ronnie.
Hi.
Where are you from, Ronnie?
I live now in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale.
Do you have blue hair?
Blue hair, not quite. Working on it. We're all working on it, aren't we, guys?
We're not working
no,
on
I'm
blue
working
hair.
On no hair.
There you go.
But I'd be happy with blue hair.
There you go. No, not quite blue. Thanks anyway.
All right, all right.
I'll look forward to that, however.
So what's shaking?
Okay, I have a very technical question to challenge your expertise.
Right.
Put on your thinking caps.
Okay,
I'm ready.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, for the past 20 years, I've always had a white car.
Hmm.
Okay?
This
here's a technical question. Yeah. Get ready. I'm about to purchase a new car and decide to be really wild and go for a black car.
Really?
My husband cooperatively responded with a resounding, "Are you nuts? How can we have a black car in Florida where the average temperature is like 85 and the humidity is like 100%?
Yeah.
We will fry." Anyway, we went to the car dealer, and sure enough, side by side were two black and white cars.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And my husband pointed out, touch one, it's going to be about 20 degrees cooler than the other.
Mm-hmm.
The dealer quickly said to us, no, even though the black one is hotter on the outside, it doesn't make a difference in the inside. That it only takes like 0.7 of a second for air conditioning unit with these great new cars where they're built to kick on and make the temperature internally exactly the same.
0.7 seconds?
0.7. Okay.
Yeah.
To which
was he wearing plaid pants, this guy?
Of course not. Why? It's too hot in Florida.
He wasn't wearing any pants.
That's right.
Okay.
So, wait. It goes on. Because my husband said, you mean the law of physics doesn't apply to cars? Now, it's important for you to understand that the white car, I found out afterwards, is actually already sold.
That doesn't surprise me.
Which canceled out the dealer's advice totally.
Completely, yeah.
Completely. So here's my question, my technical question.
Yeah.
Does it really make a difference inside of a car, whether it's black or white on the outside?
Yes.
Both, it does.
Sure it does.
I'm not going to have my husband listen to the show whenever he says,
well, on. Sure.
Honey, I mean, you're listening.
If you've ever had, for example, a convertible with black seats.
Well, right? No, I think Ronnie's question is, if the sheet metal of the car were white as opposed to black, but the interior were the same color.
There you go.
Would it make a difference? And I don't think it makes a difference in that sense.
That's what I'm asking.
What if you had a car with no air conditioning? Would it be hotter in the black car or in the white car? Answer, it would be hotter in the black car.
Right.
Everyone knows that the white car will reflect away much of the heat that's coming in. Or not much. Some of it.
Right.
How much of a difference will there be? Who knows? But your husband is at least theoretically correct that the black car will be hotter. Now you add air conditioning. You say, well, I can't even tell the difference. Well, that's true. But the air conditioner is working hotter to keep the black car cool than it would be keeping the white car cool.
So he was right, is what you're telling
me. Yes,
I'm telling
yes,
you that
your
he
husband
was,
is right.
He is Darn. Right.
We think.
Whether
now,
it
now,
makes any practical difference, except in the life of the longevity of the air conditioning system, I don't know.
I would doubt that would be too much of a factor. However, we are getting perilously close to the arena of electric trailer brakes.
Okay.
If you ever heard our discussion about
cattle trailer,
yeah. Electric brakes,
mm-hmm.
about which we know nothing.
Right.
It didn't prevent us, however, from going on a long 10-minute dissertation.
There you go.
You know, so we may know nothing about this topic.
Yeah.
But I do remember. I would definitely avoid a dark interior. I remember some years ago wearing shorts.
Ouch.
And getting into a Cadillac with a black leather interior.
Yeah.
And hearing, it sounded like I had gone to the Bisutteki Steakhouse. And they had thrown a raw piece of meat onto
Ouch.
That 1,000-degree grill. And that same sound was there, that sizzling.
Did it have a delicious barbecue smell as well?
Well, not really. Well, and you also know that all the Latin American dictators wear white shirts.
There you go. Now I don't want to say anything
else. That makes my decision.
Exactly. I mean, that says it all, doesn't it?
So go for white, Ronnie.
Oh, thanks, guys. Again, blue hair and a white car will fit in perfectly.
You'll be great. Send us a picture.
Thanks, guys.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've underutilized. No, you've outright squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive.
And Martha by Mail.
Martha by Mail. We have it on good authority that our producer, you ready for this? Guess Martha Stewart Living, delivered by mail. Oh, he's shaking his head. We know you're a lying sack because Catherine, our spy, saw your name on the magazine.
The mailing label.
Oh, the mailing label. Oh,
well, that's why. First of all, he's so impeccably dressed.
And that's
his
why
office is
that's
so
why
beautifully
the office looks like a bomb went off.
But it was a feng shui bomb.
Martha Stewart Living. Oh, my God. Our social producers are Frau Catherine, you can't quit, you're fired, Fenelosa, and David Widescreen Green. Our senior web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman-Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Bali High Pad Thai, cicada pie, matzo braai, decaf chai, and Canada Dry Wi-Fi fish fry, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Hayward Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Oltek Oshawa. Our transgender studies expert is Ben Hur. Our Russian chauffeur is Pekov and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, and the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the other Harvard Square bums in summer whites as Huey Louie Dewey.
Erasmus B. Dragon.
Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1522, download other insomnia-curing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, our Shameless Commerce division is rolling out its 2015 line of summer garage wear. First up, our Born Not to Run t-shirt, based on a certain 1975 album cover from someone with actual talent. Check it out along with our Best of Car Talk collections, Car Talk mugs, and more over at the Shameless Commerce division at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Ivan Pavlov reflexively rolls over in his grave to turn off the radio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.